Hey, you looking good, Chris Marler. Welcome in that SEC podcast, Marler Monday. What's up, buddy? Uh-oh, 2 seconds in, he's already froze. We're off to one hell of a start. I don't know if he's trolling. There's no way a guy that big and sweaty could stay still that long, is there? Well, how y'all doing? Because I guess Chris doesn't want to hang out today, even though he told me he would. We were going to have him on to preview the NCAA tournament. And I don't think it's going to go too well. No, Marler, I will not make out. What if I would feel really bad if like his apartment just exploded and we're just sitting here trolling him? Ooh, what is that right side of the screen? his girlfriend finally did it. She snapped and just shotgunned his ass. That's probably what happened. But hey, so we got the NCAA tournament, of course. And what do you know? I was going to ask Marler to break down region by region who's going to win it in the SEC. The West has got the SEC champs, Arkansas. We've got Mizzou down there as well, and possibly Texas. Texas plays on Tuesday night against NC State. Texas is a slight favorite. So a couple of options out of the West for the SEC. Out of the South, we got Florida, number one, the favorite, of course. Vanderbilt, 5. And we've got A&M in the 10 slot there. And then the Midwest is pretty loaded, too, with SEC teams. We got Georgia, the 8 seed. Bama, the 4 seed. And their players are doing drugs, apparently. Marler was here to discuss that. He said he was very excited to do it. And then we launched the stream, and he immediately logged off, so maybe he's not so excited. Tennessee and Kentucky also in the bracket. Marler says his internet just went out. I don't believe him. His internet's out, but he's still tweeting. So we'll give him a couple minutes. Maybe you guys got questions. Questions about Marler. Appreciate your cousin Shane's shirt. $100 wins $50K if the dogs take it home. is it rebooting? He says it's for real. So he can apparently hear this, but he has no internet. So we'll see. Hogs got screwed, but got him going to the final. Why did the Hogs get screwed? Because they're in the West? I think that's fair. I don't know. You can't get all the things you want, can you? It doesn't matter where you're at. It's not like they're playing in Fayetteville anyway. I never really bought that. And again, you're in the West. You'd have a date with Arizona in the Elite Eight, I think it would be, but you're going to have to face a good team anyway, right? Would you rather be in Florida's bracket? I think not. So you didn't get screwed there. Would you rather be in Michigan's bracket? I would think not. I don't know. We got to get over everybody screwing us. 2,300 miles away from home. Yeah. I mean, again, they're not playing in your damn home stadium. And Arkansas was not great this year, were they? I mean, I know they got hot there at the end. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. All these teams got to travel. And that's just for the opening rounds, right? You advance, you'll get a lot closer to home, I would think. I don't know. Maybe they are out to get Calipari. What do I know? Made a Marler Monday. Appreciate you, Emily. But Marler did not make it. He made it, and then he immediately logged off. I think y'all scared him off. Maybe that was Brodo says, rest in peace to Marler. He got hit by a bazooka. Okay, so this is a great preview here, Marler. We really appreciate it. I mean, sure, I think he unplugged the damn internet as soon as this thing started. He said it's rebooting. I don't believe him though. Do you? Surely Arkansas can afford a plane. Maybe not. Apparently, they're taking the damn Greyhound. They can't afford it because they're paying Calipari's ass and they're paying all these coaching buyouts. Yeah, Marler quit just like Shane. Shane quit. His girlfriend offed him. That's kind of what I was thinking. How about it's just a Monday now. That it is. That it is. How about teams? I got the odds to win the whole thing. Florida, 8-1 to win the national championship. Those are the best odds out of the SEC. There's about three or four others, I think, that have better odds than Florida nationally, but none better in the SEC. And then Arkansas, ooh, again, this goes to my point. I know you just won the conference tournament, and I congratulated you online. You should be congratulated for winning a trophy. Arkansas's odds to win the national championship, 60-1. Compared to Florida, 8-1. I mean, Arkansas, very good year, but were they great this year to where we got to give them home games in the tournament? Fuck no. Vanderbilt, 75-1. Bama, 101. Tennessee, 100-1. Kentucky, 250-1. Georgia, 400-1. Mizzou, A&M, and Texas, 1,000-1. Some of these SEC teams didn't even get odds. Damn it. That sucks. Locked On Cox does not pay, apparently. Yeah. What's he doing with all his money? Going down to the striptease, if I had to guess. This is probably the best, most zen interview we've ever done with Marler. Iran turned off Marler's internet. Hey, did Iran turn off your internet?
I ran the damn ball, brother. Come on now. Here we go.
I did that.
I was going to freak the fuck out. No, dude, so we've had, apparently across the whole Southeast, there's like really bad storms everywhere. I was just so excited to show you my cool-ass shirt. Mike. What are we? Oh, should we even do the show today?
Well, hey, we've already got a debate going on.
Oh hell yeah, dude! I'm a man. I promise.
Did Arkansas get screwed
about not being a four seed?
No, I guess they're mad because they're in the region they're in.
I didn't look enough into the region.
They're in the West
here. Yeah, Wisconsin's pretty good. High Point's not bad. Not really. I mean, so what was interesting was, I think it was the East region. Not a single SEC team was in there. Not a single SEC team made that.
The East. Yeah. That's stupid, right?
Well, only because like, if you're going to have the most teams of any conference in the tournament, it feels like you would have them more. You would have them more things, dude. More spread out. I just didn't really understand that. So,
I got it.
Yeah. Emily Powell says, LOL, Brodo. Emily, enjoy the fucking NIT. So, should be a lot of fun.
Oh, hey, Shane he's got a request. He said, you need to stop cursing so much. He's getting too many complaints. That? Yeah.
Shane's getting complaints?
Yeah.
Hey, Shane, fuck off.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing that at all. Why is he getting complaints?
I guess you're saying the F word a little too much.
Are you serious right now or kidding?
100%. I told him to grow a backbone, and then he got mad.
Shane did?
I'll show you the text if you don't believe it.
He was really upset with me cussing?
Yes.
Oh.
Because we have had some complaints. I don't care. But I'm just letting you know that you're hurting his feelings every time you drop an F-bomb, apparently.
Does he not cuss?
He does occasionally. I've already said it once on this show.
I mean, I don't know. I'm probably just going to keep doing what I do. I love it. And if that's not good to the show, you let me know. I'll respect the show. But when he's not here, I'll probably just continue to be me.
Perfect. Emily says, let's see the tape. All right. Wild. Well, hey, speaking of cursing, how about Bama? Shout out, dude, getting arrested. What did he have, a pound of marijuana on him?
Over a pound.
Over? What is he dealing?
So I'm glad you brought that up. That's a seamless transition into one. So I like, I started off by making a joke, and I was like, who's being arrested for weed? Who's getting arrested for weed in 2026? I didn't know it was a pound. So this has been a problem that's like plagued him since he was at Auburn. And, you know, one, obviously when you get a transfer from Auburn, you should know better. You should know what kind of person they automatically are.
Oh, wait, so this guy's from Auburn.
He's a Bama player, but yeah, I was making a joke there.
No, that makes sense. I think that's where he picked it up from the Pearls.
Probably so. I mean, and this is one of those situations that's tough because, you know, not everyone has a Stephen Pearl situation where they can just call their dad to get him out of anything. You know what I mean? So, like, I know I don't. So, the thing with Aiden that's frustrating is that I'm never going to sit here and clutch pearls over smoking weed in 2026. Now, there's other drugs. I'd be like, that's probably want to stop that, brother. But smoking weed in 2026, I just don't care enough about that specific drug to where I'm going to be super upset about it. Now, here's the thing in regards to this specific situation. What I was told from anyone close to the situation over there was that he was stopped like a week or so ago with some on him or suspicion of it. And that's what led to like a task force going into his apartment and finding the pound of weed. The immediate assumption from, West Alabama.
Yeah, you're right. The task force here.
You know, that fucking group of people just sucks too. but they did that and they're just doing their job. But the middle part of this right here, they recovered over a pound of marijuana, paraphernalia, and cash. So
I'm more disturbed with the failure to affix a tax stamp.
I don't even know what that means. Why is he collecting stamps? You know what I mean? Like what's, I don't even understand what he's doing with those. So I think the thing for me looking at it is, dude, you have 1 to 3 weeks left of the season. Get arrested in 3 weeks. Go ham. Smoke the entire pound of weed in a couple of weeks. Like, but at the same time, so the idea that he had over a pound in a state like Alabama, that it's as antiquated and kind of, I hate to use this phrasing, but like, it's not like they're super progressive when it comes to drugs and legalization of things like that. So like, you're opening the door and just asking for the assumption of intent to distribute and intent to sell if you're that age and carrying that much weed along with paraphernalia and cash. Like you flat out are. Here's what I think is kind of wild from all the stuff that I've seen on social media so far, which is the assumption that he's selling it. Just doing some research on drugs. Like a pound of weed, street value is around $6,000, right? If you're going to sell the $6,000 worth of weed, a pound of weed, and you're doing it by selling an eighth at a time, which is the most common amount and weight and distribution that you would be selling to someone at a small-time dealer, okay? You're talking about $7,300 or $7,500 in profit. That's a lot of effort to put a high-profile person to put yourself in for not a lot of reward. The profit margin on weed in comparison to all other drugs is the smallest amount out of anything. It's not cocaine. It's not, you know, speed. It's not Adderall. It's not like anything like that. Like the profit margin on weed is incredibly low. So if you are a player that is trying to sell weed for money, that seems very, very unrealistic to me as an option of what he would have been doing, especially in this day and age when you're talking about an Alabama NIL team or deal like that probably costs, I would say at minimum $500,000. Most starting point guards in this day and age of the NIL era at the Power Four level are around $1 million. So I don't know what his NIL deal is. I do think that him trying to make $500,000 or having a six-figure contract at the very least, let's say it's $100,000, at the very least, trying to move that much weed with that much effort to do it for $1,500 seems pretty far-fetched.
Shout out, Emily. Marler knows a lot about weed. I thought cocaine was his drug of choice. And then we also had Fire yeah. Bill. Marler,
I'd like to know what I'm talking about if drug we're going to talk about something.
No, I get it. But, I mean, that is – I mean, he's going to get charged, I would think, with intent to distribute. How could you not?
I mean, I don't – there's no – the assumption that he is distributing and selling, it seems pretty dumb. Like, it just seems very stupid. But here's the thing too, Mike, I have already told you, like in that state, especially, and at that age and who he is and like his status in life. I fully expect them to make that assumption to sell or to say that he was had the intent to distribute. Again, you cannot do that in most places, but in the state of Alabama, especially, it seems like that is the logical next step of what they're going to try to say. Again, I'm just laying out all the factual information of what that would take and what that would entail to sell that much weed and what you would get back from it. That is a lot of effort for $1,500.
So, this podcast should have went live at 4:20.
Bama's full of criminals. Doesn't surprise me. Happy to see them go out in the first round. Sam, it seems like you're working through a lot of things that have nothing to do with Alabama. Seems that's a lot of exclamation points.
Wait a second. Considering who his coach is, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wrong. Has a statement been released, and is the statement wrong place, wrong time?
He said that before, for sure. I think that's the other part, too, is that, like, and what you've done, if you're on this team, is in, especially because of what happened 3 years ago, which is a much different situation, obviously, and a much more serious situation. But now you have opened the door to a lot more low-hanging fruit comments and negative comments about you as a program, especially coming off of like the Betty Aka thing, the Aiden Holloway thing, the Darius Miles thing. Those are all very, very different, unique situations. The issue is you've been so brazen with how you kind of handled those in comparison to what others and outside noise thinks and says you should have, how you should have handled it. And since you have been so different in how you have handled it in comparison to what those things have been volunteered for Nate Oates, I think that you have really deservingly opened the door for a lot of criticism, no matter what you do. I mean, how long do you think he should be out?
First round.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, maybe tip off, considering it's Nate Oates. You know, we can't let him start
the first 4 minutes and 20 seconds just to prove it. That also feels like something Nate Oates would do, is like, we're going to call a timeout at the 15:40 mark of the first quarter or first half and then bring him in. So
I don't even know. Is this guy a starter?
Yeah, man. Who's second team all SEC?
Okay. First team all smoker. But all right, let's go through there the bracket then. Okay. What are the odds you like Arkansas to come out of the, which apparently they got screwed here, come out of the West here, or at least this portion?
How did they get screwed? I don't know how they got screwed. I don't get that.
It's too far from home. Oh, it's over 2,000 miles, Marler.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I guess again, that is weird. I don't know where all the regions are. They did win the SEC. Like, it feels like they probably should have gotten some benefit of the doubt. Yeah, that is kind of shocking. I mean, but Portland is beautiful this time of year. If you love weed, you're going to love Portland. Also heroin, real big out there.
Can you tell us what the going rate is for a pound in Portland these
days? Glad you asked. So in Portland, you got to think too, this is on Pacific Coast time, so the conversion rate's a little bit more expensive out there. he should have just stashed the weed at Betty Akko's house. My favorite comment from anybody on social media about it was Noah Williamson's, who's like the worst player on their team. So there's that.
They have beavers up there.
Beavers are not in Portland. They are not. They are in Corvallis. But
Can they keep the hot streak going?
What's that?
Can they keep the hot streak going, you think? Just won the SEC tournament again.
Arizona they were the second longest undefeated team in the country this year. They were like 21 or 23-0, very physical. And they've played some SEC teams that have beaten Arkansas. They played Auburn and beat them like a drum. They played Bama, beat them by 19, so beat them like a drum too. They are a really, really very talented and deep team. And again, they are very, very physical. Now, the thing with Arkansas is, I'm going to put a ton of stock into how good Darius Acuff is and how far a point guard like him can take a team. But here's the other part too. In March Madness, one of the things that tends to be like a driving force or driving factor in teams going late or going deep in the tournament is guard play. And not always having like it doesn't always have to be like veteran experienced guard play. I mean, Arkansas has four dudes that can play the point guard position or play the guard position extremely well. They're all very young. DJ Wagner, I think, is the oldest out of them, and he's a true sophomore. But you think about like what Malik Thomas was able to do in the semifinal round matchup against Ole Miss, went off for like 29 points, also scored, I think, 29 or 30 against Missouri in the final regular season game. You think about Billy Rich from the third, one of the greatest 1870s baseball player names I've ever heard in my life. And then obviously Darius Acuff and how good they can be. And they are physical enough down low. They got a 7-footer and they got Nick Pringle, who's not ever going to light up a scoreboard and be great offensively. But you saw it with his rebounding and defense in the finals against Vanderbilt. He is a very, very good player in terms of being able to get rebounds offensively and defensively and being physical down low. So is he can stay out of trouble. You got enough talent on Arkansas, man, to make a run here. I mean, I said all of those things about them and didn't even mention Trevin Brazil, who can do everything, right? Averaged over 13 points and 7 rebounds a game this season. You saw how good he was in the game against Vanderbilt. Like, they are very, very talented, and it feels like this is the time of year when Cal teams finally kind of put it all together.
Hey, here's the rest of the West. We've got Missouri. They're a lower seed, but they get to play at home.
Yeah.
So if I'm Miami, I'm a little pissed off. I think that we kind of got screwed there. But any chance Missouri or even Texas, which plays in on Tuesday against NC State, either one of them could make a run?
Not Missouri. I like Missouri. I think they're a good team. That's a tough bracket right there, man. That's a tough bracket. BYU is a 6 seed with arguably the best player in the country with AJ Diamond-Astor, however you say his name. That's the $5 million NIL kid was a freshman last year between BYU and Bama. Gonzaga, obviously. Gonzaga is a 3 seed. They've made the program for like the tournament for like the 83rd straight year or something like that. Purdue is a 2 seed. Dude, Purdue's coming off. They were the 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they ran the table and won the whole thing. They've got some really, really good players, and they are – I think Missouri matches up decently well against them. I just don't know if Missouri is going to be able to get past Miami. Miami was a 3 seed in the ACC, conference tournament this year. They kind of have flown under the radar, but they are obviously a pretty good team if you're able to put up that kind of seeding in a conference that's at least traditionally deeper than the SEC. I do like what you're saying, though, about them being in St. Louis. They've got some talented players, and they're very good down low. Like, Missouri is kind of like the opposite of Brodo's mom. They're very, very good down low. And so I think that Missouri, maybe the home crowd works in their favor of the first game, but Purdue, man, Purdue is fucking really good. They are really good.
Hey, we've got a cousin bracket. Emily wants to know, will you join it? I'll send you the link if you'll join it.
I'll pass. I don't want to make Shane upset if I end up writing a 4-letter word in place of Tennessee when they inevitably get kicked out of the tournament in the second round.
I'm giving out prizes, and shout out to Michael Dunlap. He wants to know how to join. I'll drop the link when this is done. I'll put it in the comments. So any of the cousins, I'm going to uninvite Chris now.
No, I want to
Okay, I'll send it to you. How about the South region? Florida's just going to steamroll this. And bad job by the committee, in my opinion, because we got Florida and we got Vanderbilt.
Horseshit.
Who just played and a hell of a game. Shout out Vanderbilt for getting it done, but I would certainly favor Florida in a rematch. What's your thoughts?
Vandy didn't beat Florida. Vandy beat them by 19. I mean, like, they – and then they played in the SEC championship. This Vandy basketball team feels a lot like Mizzou football. It's just like, no matter what they do, we're just not going to take them seriously, and I can't really figure out why. Like – they are very, very skilled. They spent a fuck ton in NIL money in the offseason. Like, they have been one of the biggest spenders of them, the top half of the SEC and what they put together from a roster standpoint. Like, they are opening with a McNeese team that is a very dangerous 12-5 matchup for them. But I think Vandy will come in with a chip on their shoulder. And what's confusing to me is, again, if you are going to have it, like, there's, it's not like the SEC got 5 teams in, right? Like, the SEC got 10 teams in. And for the second consecutive year, you had more teams from your conference than any other conference. So why are they all fucking in the same region playing each other so early? That part, I cannot understand. I think that when you brought up the Arkansas thing, that Arkansas gets screwed. My first thought was, I think Vanderbilt got screwed more than anybody. And that is because they finished on the 5 seed line, but they never really moved off the 5 seed line at any point this season. They were just there for most of the year. And it felt like, honestly, even if they would have beaten Arkansas, I almost wonder if they would have stayed as a five seed, just because they had been there for so long. And we sat there. I mean, like, if they weren't able to move up, even on the projections from, like, the bracketology stuff and Joe Lunardi, they didn't even move up to the four seed after beating Florida. And that, to me, just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Hey, Marler.
Oh, Cox.
Shout out Carolina Jackpot. Gave us a donation here. Marler, thoughts on Lamont Paris' story about being retained? Seems like we are only serious about teams that wear a sports bra these days.
Love sports bras. Itchy, but do love them. I hate taking off Brodo's mom, but other than that, I'm a huge fan. So, I said this a bunch, and I'll get into it again. I'll try to be as long-winded this time. But, like, the thing with Lamont and having him come back, it's the same with Matt McMahon. And the thing that people are going to have to start looking at, and this is not just going to be for this year, this is going to be the future of, like, college sports being a little bit more aligned and in sync and, like, I hate to use this word, like, synergetic with the other programs and teams and, or sports teams in their own athletic department. If you get rid of Lamont Paris, my question is, what is the upside of getting rid of him? Like, you're happy because you replace him. You're absolutely going to have to pay $3 million to get rid of Palmieri. Like, you're already done with that. But Lamont Paris, he was given the lowest amount of NIL resources of any team in the SEC by a lot. He was given $5.5 million. The next closest was Oklahoma with $6.5 million. No one else in the SEC had less than eight. And if a starting point guard or a starter in the SEC costs $1 million out of the portal, I don't know how much higher the ceiling gets for them with a new coach. I also don't know how much higher the ceiling gets for South Carolina with him coming back. I just think you have to look at this from, like, a fiscal responsibility standpoint and say, listen, if you're going to fire him, that's going to cost $7.5 to $10 million. I think it's $10 million this year, $7.5 million next on his buyout. If you get rid of him and it's $10 million and you go bring in a new guy, that's going to be $10 to $15 million. So now you're in for $20 to $25 million total, and then you have to start spending money in the NIL part of it. This whole thing, from getting a roster that you promised to the new guy, the contract for the new guy, which you're going to have to most likely entice from getting away from somewhere else, and then also the buyout for paying Lamont to leave, you're talking about $30 to $35 million. And in a year where they might get rid of Shane Beamer if things don't go well, you just can't take that risk financially of saying we're going to spend this much money when that money can be adequately used somewhere else that is also more important to South Carolina fans. That's same with LSU. It's nice to be good at men's basketball. It sucks to be so bad at it. But if you ask South Carolina fans, I think they'll be honest and say, I don't care about men's basketball as much as I care about women's basketball, football, or baseball.
Yeah, and don't you think we had Trey Wallace in studio last week, and I asked him kind of about this, and his thoughts are, these decisions are made months in advance, right? Yeah. So it's one where, like, Carolina probably looks at it and says, we're probably not going to be very good basketball this year, but we could throw a bunch of money into it. Right. Or we could bring back Lenore Sellers. We could bring back Dylan Stewart.
Right.
We can bring back Nick Harbor. We can go get a left tackle. What's going to make fans happy? That we elevate this basketball program, or that we put in these resources to make a run in football? And we have seen it, that these players can perform on the gridiron at a very high level.
Yeah.
And I think that if that's the calculus, I think they made the right decision.
Well, and here's the thing too. It's like, if they end up, let's have an honest conversation about South Carolina basketball. They're not good. But they never have been really good. They've had some good seasons. But this is not a program that's consistently fighting for a top four seed in the SEC tournament or in the top half of the conference. They did that in year one with Lamont, and then Ohio State wanted to hire him. And so that's why you had to pay him even more to retain him, which at the time was a good move. There was no reason to think this would have fallen off. But the other part of it too is this. If you are trying to move forward and advance your team in this conference, in a sport that already has way more losses than other sports, right? Like outside of baseball, like you're talking about a good season is still what, 22-10. That's a good season. Georgia just had, you know, one of the best years they've had in recent memory, and there was 22 wins. If that's the goal, I think you look at this and say, how much money are you willing to spend? Like, because really, look at the team that has been parallel to you as being one of the shittiest teams in the conference, LSU. Fuck, that's shit, dude. That's fucking, that's my bad, Shane. I didn't mean to fucking say shit. That's, I won't fucking do it again, man. So you look at LSU. LSU did give more resources to Matt McMahon. They did go out and get a $2 million point guard, or like at least a $1 million point guard in Deion Thomas from UNLV. They spent a ton of money in the portal, right around $9 million. So they spent nearly, you know, what, 80% more than South Carolina did? Almost double if South Carolina was spending 5.5. So what ended up happening there, your best point guard for 2 years in a row at LSU, he gets injured. He's out for the year, which is a risk that could happen in college basketball or any sport. And so now you're down there. That's, that money's still spent. And like, what is the ceiling? That team won 3 games in the conference this year. Like, I don't know how much more money you put into the program and how much that doesn't automatically mean that you were going to win games. Last thing I'll say on it too, is there's a great website called Extra Points. I think it's like extrapointsmb.com. They put out an article today, Mike Brown, about the operating budget for over 200 college basketball programs in the country. Did the same thing for baseball last week. And for the college basketball thing they put out there, it's for the 2025 year, so from a season ago. And you look at where everyone ranks, Tennessee was the highest in the SEC at over $22 million from an operating budget, or $23 million from an operating budget. Texas was fourth in the country and the second highest in the SEC at over $22 million. Well, that's not even including NIL, Mike. That is just the operating budget of that program. And what did that get them? They won 19 games. You're talking about over $1.1 million per win for a team. And that was the second highest amount per win for any program in the country at the Power Four level. I mean, what is it really worth that?
Hey, speaking of Tennessee, did you see the guy Jack? He just crushed the ball, then he slammed his bat down and was like, "Fuck yeah!"
So lawless.
And then Georgia guy caught it. He was out.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Marler wipes from back to front. He's a stink nuts. You know, most of the shit talking that we have on here is actually pretty fun and funny.
That's a good
weird
one.
That's a weird one, in my opinion. So yeah, that moment, it's funny too, because that guy, like, if somebody did an overlap of what Tennessee's stadium is in comparison to Foley's, and that ball would have been over the fucking Uber Eats deck in left field at Lindsey Nelson at Tennessee. And it was caught at the wall there. That was a great series, man. Like, the first weekend of SEC play was awesome for SEC baseball. Tennessee blowing that 5-0 lead and then having that reaction at the end, that's a tough one to get over if you're that guy.
Well, that's all right, because we're a basketball school these days. How about A&M? Any? Oh yeah, I forgot you hate A&M. But A&M's they kind of fell up. I was told they were the best in the SEC, as did you. They're in as a 10 seed, one and done in the SEC tournament. Will they be one and done in the NCAAs?
Maybe you don't have understand how we get sent 2,000 plus miles from home every years. Arkansas is like in the middle of the country. Are they getting sent over 2,000 miles
every years?
Every years? So what, multiple years in 1 year? Hold on.
Now that would be cruel if they made him do it multiple times a years.
Yeah. How long? How far is the distance? Multiple years, he says right here. Oh, it is over 2,000 miles. What? Well, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you guys should move closer. Move into the state of Alabama.
Is it possible that there's just not many tournaments near Arkansas? I mean, we got Oklahoma City, I saw.
Yeah, where do you want them to play in Arkansas? What do you, I mean?
Texas, I don't know.
You guys are the ones that brag constantly about how, like, it's a one-team state, brother. There's no pro teams. There's only one thing to cheer for. That's incest.
Having to travel. That's what they root for.
Yeah. And listen, when you have a state as beautiful as Arkansas, that feels like I feel like there's probably some really pretty parts of Arkansas, but from like May to August, it feels like one giant sunburn, but I could be wrong. So here's the thing. I hate this draw for A&M because this is just, every time I see St. Mary's, all I see is just like them and Gonzaga are like Scott Farkas and that fucking weird kid from The Christmas Story.
Uh-huh.
His little bully sidekick that was wearing that little weird hat that I feel like only Uber drivers in Boston wear. St. Mary's is a good team. And A&M has just traditionally struggled this season with good teams. It doesn't mean it's not an incredible turnaround from where you thought they were going to be versus where they are. That should be celebrated. They were picked to finish 14th. They finished fourth or whatever the fuck it was.
Tied for fourth.
The graphic. Love that graphic. It was really good, and the font sizes were perfect. And so they were really, really – it's a really impressive year in year one. They're only going to get better. They have a lot of resources there they can put into that program. I think they're going to be great at some point. Here's the deal. You just look at what they've been. You could have easily seen Oklahoma coming and beating A&M. I know I did, and I think anybody that's watched basketball this season, watched the trajectory of those two teams. A&M hasn't – they've beaten two good tournament teams – like two tournament teams in total since January 21st. And they're now going to have to go play in a tournament full of tournament teams just by the nature
of it. I think all of them.
I think, yeah, you could argue that. And I think that I don't think it's going to go well. I hope it does. I would love to see this thing keep going for them. I would love to be proven wrong at some point, but it has not happened with that team.
Yeah, you're always right. All right, how about the Midwest region? We're absolutely loaded with SEC. We got the Alabama drug dealers down there playing on Friday, and we got Georgia and St. Louis. How far can Alabama and Georgia go, you think?
So I think St. Louis lost. Like, I think St. Louis started 24-1, but went 4-4 in their last eight games of the season. So I think you're getting them at a good spot. And it's also far away from St. Louis, so that's nice because of the crime mainly, but also going to play in Buffalo. I think that they can win the first round. Michigan's very good. Michigan is very good. And I think that anybody's going to struggle with them in this side of the region. Now, here's what I'll say. I felt a lot better about Bama's chances before the Aiden Holloway thing. I mean, that is a guy that averaged 16.8 points per game, shot nearly 44% from three on the season. Second team all SEC. He's been awesome for them on offense. He put up 18 in their game against Ole Miss in the quarterfinal of the SEC tournament where they lost. I love Alabama's draw. Texas Tech is at a five seed. They lost their best player a few weeks ago. It's one of the reasons they've dropped down to a five seed. I think Bama has a really, really good case and a good chance to make the Sweet 16. I cannot see them getting past Michigan, especially with Aiden Holloway, but even with Aiden Holloway, especially without Aiden Holloway, I think it would be tough for them to win because they just don't play defense well enough in general, and they're not physical enough to go up against a team like that.
When you said you like Alabama's draw, is that another drug term?
Draw?
I'm asking you. You're the drug expert.
You're not.
All right, how about now, last year in the Midwest, we got Tennessee.
Yeah.
They're going to face the winner of the play-in between Miami of Ohio, which apparently it's pretty damn good. That kind of scares me. SMU, whoever wins that, will play Tennessee. And then Kentucky, Santa Clara. Could either one of these teams advance, you think, through and win this portion of it?
This is a tough bracket to pick because, well, Bruce Pearl said Wright State is going to upset Virginia and Santa Clara is going to upset Kentucky. I liked what I saw from Kentucky their first two rounds. I think Tennessee – this is where they struggle, right, is March. I don't think Miami of Ohio is very good. I think it's a cool story, and I think they deserve to be in, sure, but they finished the year, I believe, without a quad one win, which is almost fucking impossible to do in 34 games. Like, that's so beyond, like, absurd to me that you were able to play that long of a season and then not play anybody worth a shit. So I think Tennessee will win the first round. SMU also, they're supposed to be getting healthier, but they've also not been that great, and they haven't played nearly as good of a schedule as well. I don't know if Tennessee's good enough to get past Virginia. Virginia was a really, really good team this year, and it's a different Virginia team than we've seen in the years past because they actually fucking score, and they don't just play really, really good defense like they did under Tony Bennett. They're much more, I wouldn't say offensive-oriented, but they're much more offense-oriented than they were under Bennett. So Tennessee, sure, maybe they can get through there. I think Kentucky, you just keep waiting for it to fucking click. You just keep waiting for it to click at some point because they have the talent, and God knows they spend enough fucking money on it. So I don't know if it will or not, but I think it better at some point during this. If they go out in the first round, if we're being honest, it'd be kind of hilarious because the amount of money they spent, and it's not even that part I really don't care that much about. I expect a place like Kentucky to spend that much, mainly because Louisville was doing something similar, and they were basically saying, we're not going to be outspent in this sport that should be ours that we're so desperate to be good at. It's funny if they lose the first round because they were the ones that were so adamant about getting rid of John Calipari and how bad he is. And then lo and behold, he walks into Rupp Arena last year and beats them on their own floor, takes a 10 seed Arkansas to the second weekend of the tournament. And then, oh, by the way, won the SEC this year.
Have you seen the line for the Kentucky Santa Clara game?
Tevin James, he doesn't have a beard, you dumb fucking moron. What are you talking about? No, I've not seen the line for that.
Santa Clara is favored by 3.5.
Over Kentucky?
Yes.
Oh, I kind of like Kentucky. That's weird though, Mike, because that feels like Vegas is begging you to take Santa Clara.
Right.
Yeah. Good point, huh?
Interesting. How about Bama favored by 12.5 over Hofstra?
I would take that. I think it's a really good draw for Bama. Also, here's the interesting thing about that is Bama plays one of the fastest paced offenses in the country. Like their whole point is we're trying to get up as many shots as possible because we know we're going to hit a bunch of them. We're going to take most of them from outside. We are only taking high percentage shots for us, but we've got to get the offense fucking going. Like you see it even after made shots, it is immediately like getting the ball back in, getting up the court. Like they're one of the few teams that's really abided by this system that you see a lot in football, where it's like that final 2 minutes and the first 2 minutes or final four and first four. Where you're trying to get like steal some points. They are one of the few teams I feel like in the country that you see if they have the ball with 45 seconds left and they know the shot clock is 30, they're trying to get a shot up within the first 7 seconds of that possession, because if they make it, then they get a double possession to close out the half. So the Hofstra team is the opposite. They are very, very slow. And they are one of, I think it's like 350 something in the country in terms of offensive pace. So if they are able to drag Alabama down into the fucking mud and make them play that style and watch Bama get impatient and frustrated, don't be surprised if they are able to somehow win that game.
And then we got Miami favored by 1.5 only over Missouri.
Hold on. Marler can't look at a mirror. Do you realize that as we're recording this, I'm looking directly at my own fucking face? We got to get more creative with it, guys. If we need help, we can do a workshop. I will help write the jokes for you. Okay. Who does Marler think he is? Dick Vitale? No, I have much better grammar. I am probably not as loud though.
A&M favored by over St. Mary's by 3.5.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That is going to be.
Maybe I have all these backwards, but I don't know. Yeah. I looked it up right before we hopped on here.
That's not a mirror, dummy. It's the same thing, you dumb fuck. Anyway, if there's a team that I think is most poised to exit early, it's A&M.
Is there anything that you dislike, like your biggest pet peeves here with the tournament? Are you going to be like the rest of us and just plop down and check out all the action the next couple of days?
No, I'll probably be doing exercise. And you can tell that I'm really into it, the way I phrased it. I'll probably be doing exercise. No, I was going to tell you this off air. I thought one of the funniest things to me is the Auburn situation with like how they were bitching and complaining about how they should have been in the tournament. And it was hilarious to watch because it was like one, 3 months ago, I heard this argument from so many people, not just Auburn fans, but especially Auburn fans that were like, Bama shouldn't get in the tournament. They didn't have enough good wins. They had three losses. And it's like now 3 months later in basketball, they're like, we played the toughest schedule. We had 17 quad one games. It's like, yeah, you lost 13 of those 17. Like that is, you can play all those games. It's great. But you also have to fucking win in those games too. Like that would be like me being like, dude, I went to the gym 6 times this week. It's like, well, you're fucking eating hot dogs in the parking lot for 5 of them. So that's not really, a great selling point.
That counts, though.
That, yeah, I was there, brother. just double the whole time. Clip that, Brodo. No, I think for Thursday, Friday is two of my favorite days of the year. Also, now we're in fucking Central Time, so everything will be earlier. I'm super pumped about that. I'll probably just, you know, I have a plug in Tuscaloosa that
Up your butt?
He recently just lost about a pound of weed, so I'll probably just go scoop that up and just kind of veg out on the couch all day. It's going to be great.
Heck yeah, that sounds great. But does this sound great? I wanted to get your thoughts on this as well. They have released official over-under win totals,
dude,
via FanDuel.
Are these now, updated, one of though?
One of them is not updated.
Which one is it?
They have only changed one. Money must have come in. Who do you think it is? I'm going to let you guess.
Hold on.
I'll tell you. I'll give you a hint. It has. Can I give you a hint, though? The number has changed. It's gotten a little bit higher.
I looked at this the other day, and is it? No, it's not Mizzou. Tennessee was at 6.5. Ole Miss was at 7.5. Mm-hmm. I think Oklahoma was the same. Bama was the same. Is it A&M?
No, it's Carolina.
No, they were at 6.5.
That's what I'm saying. It opened 5.5.
Oh, it's already at 6.5?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what's kind of throwing me off, because I heard that and that fucking pisses me off. I did a whole article about this and it was like, the 5.5 is so perfect. That was the lock of the year, in my opinion. Here's the thing about Carolina, and I'll say it again. Have I been burned before for believing in this logo and this program? Abso-fucking-lutely. But 7 of the 10 Power 4 teams that they are playing have a brand new starting quarterback. And that is at least something South Carolina doesn't have. They get a lot of these tough games at home. I expect Alabama to take a step back, Clemson to take a step back, A&M to take a step back. Georgia is probably going to be pretty damn good. That's a tough one. I don't think they're going to lose to Arkansas. I don't think they're going to lose to Florida. And even in the Alabama game, man, you're talking about an Alabama team that's still most likely, in my opinion, even if they've got the quarterback situation figured out, that's going to be a person that's going to be in game 4 at most of their career in starting, right? Like, or in starting their fourth game. I'm not phrasing this well. Even if the quarterback starts game 1, that'll be his fourth start in his career. God damn it, that was tough. That was not my best. I like this South Carolina team to be a lot better. They have, in some areas, there are some question marks, but the question marks they have aren't really more significant or more concerning than they were a season ago. And then also, the way the roster is set up from a depth standpoint, talent standpoint, everything like that, they're much more similar to the 2024 season than they have been any other year under Beamer. The depth they have on the interior defensive line is going to be really, really good. The offensive line, even if you just want to call it a wash and say they're going to suck, because that's very believable, that could be. That's right, brother. That could be. But, yeah, I mean, but there's also no substantial amount of money that can come in to move a line that quickly. So that is – what? Damn, Carolina. Definitely. So I think they're going to be – even if the offensive line's bad, I think Sellers is going to be better. I think he's going to be much better on the offense. I think the floor of talent will rise significantly in comparison to last year. I don't think the offensive line will be worse. I don't know how it can be, but every time I say it can't get much worse for South Carolina, somehow they're like, fucking watch this, dude. Sorry.
I just remember this time last year, it was – you were mad at everybody for pointing out all the defensive players they lost, and you're like, guys, this is Shane Beamer and company. They replaced guys. You didn't even know these guys' names.
I know.
Four of them went in the top 40 of the draft. It don't matter if you knew their names or not. You're like, we'll just duplicate that.
That's all we do in Carolina is reload, brother. That's all we do.
Any of these others stand out to you?
I'm not done talking about Carolina and Shane Beamer. No, that is. I can't believe you remember that. I was hoping no one did. That is tough. I mean, it's still, it could have been a good point, but it proved not to be. please put your Gamecock glasses on. I don't know what that means.
Just being optimistic.
Well, my guy, it can get worse. Exactly. That's very true. So the other ones that I like, I love LSU over 8.5. I think LSU, that schedule is going to be much better than people think. Texas is on there, and that's tough. They get them and Bama back to back, but I do think Bama takes a step back. Now, between those two, I don't know which
I feel like that number, though, it's like they're not buying the BS.
What are you talking
about?
That
Marler is selling.
Why? Where are the losses numbers coming, Mike? I think the other
Ole Miss, saying, Bama, Texas.
There's no way they lose to
Tennessee.
Ole Miss. In what?
Kiffin's never beaten Bama.
Listen, LSU.
The Boers never lost to LSU. You're the guy that goes on every year being like, Alabama, own these LSU losers.
I'm an objective member of the media, Mike. But
why does everyone hype his game up? We've beaten them 12 out of 14. And the two they beat us was the greatest team of all time. And the other, I can't remember what you say about the other one, but it's
why is your memory so good?
Their ass is owned by Bama. Now they're just going to steamroll them?
I'm not saying that. Why am I out of focus? It's probably for the best, actually. Let me say this. Everyone LSU fans are very, very odd in the way that they talk about, I don't say we all the time. I say me and you, bro. I say me and you and your mom, Brodo, because we go to Chili's every Thursday night. You know that. We get a corner booth, and then me and your mom finger each other on the counter. So here's both of us at the same time. So kind of makes you think, Mike. Don't clip that. So here's the thing about the LSU thing. It's very odd the way they talk about the Alabama game because – regardless of it being 2026 or if it's 2007 or any of the years in between, and I mean any of the years in between besides maybe 2020, I have heard this from them every year. It is, yeah, of course we're going to beat Bama. And it's like, but why is that? Like, why do you, because there's no track record to prove that you've done it. They have two wins in their last like 13 games against Alabama. The two wins were by 6 total points, and they were both with Heisman quarterbacks on the roster for LSU. Now, maybe Sam Leavitt becomes a Heisman winner. I don't know. I do know this. In Baton Rouge and in Death Valley, which is a lot of people think the toughest place to play in America, Alabama has lost there 6 total times since the Eisenhower administration. They have lost there 6 times since 1957. So it's very hard, I think, for a lot of teams to play there. It has not been for Alabama. Getting them in Texas back-to-back is going to be tough. But I think Clemson, I love the fact that it's an 11.5-point spread. I think that's probably about accurate. I don't see them losing to anybody in the middle lines there.
At Auburn.
Yeah, that's the day after my wedding. I don't think they're going to lose to A&M. I don't think they're going to lose to Ole Miss. And I think maybe you can talk me into between Ole Miss, A&M, and Tennessee, there's one loss in there. But I don't see 4 losses on this schedule. And the big thing for me too is, again, we talk about like how great they did in the portal. Because not just that they got some big name players, they got the biggest player and number one ranked player at each of the 3 most important positions in the sport: quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. Like that's what they did there. And then on top of that, they still have 2 5 stars coming on the defensive line from their recruiting class. On top of all the talent they retained and Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks and
who had the number one portal class last year?
Yeah, that was Brian Kelly though.
This team.
No, dude, I'm very high on LSU. The one that I think is most interesting, though, is Ole Miss, because some of the people that have talked
about before you move on to Ole Miss.
No.
Did you see Kiffin post with the Cavender twins and his little caption or whatever?
Dude, that's – what is wrong with him?
And then did you see people's response to him?
No, it's not a good look.
The best one was like, hey, loser, Carson Beck's got – 2 playoff wins. How many do you get? Basically, that was a million times, you know?
Yeah. Why am I so out of focus? This is the best I've looked all day. yeah, man. Right,
for Ole Miss, what were you going to bash on them now? Because you're doing your LSU sticked.
I'm not bashing them at all. I'm saying, look at the schedule, Mike. Leave it up here for a second. I don't think they beat Oklahoma. I don't think they beat Georgia. I don't think they beat Texas. I don't think they beat LSU. Now, 8 wins is very doable, but OU and Texas on the road are very difficult. Georgia at home, I think it's going to be very difficult. I think LSU is – that LSU-Ole Miss game is going to be awesome. But I think the biggest thing for me is I have seen the Ole Miss conversation mainly from people around Ole Miss, to be fair. But also our old coworker Connor brought it up too. He's like they are probably going to be a top five team in the preseason, which I just have not – I don't think that's true. I don't see why that would happen or where that would happen. I think Trinidad Shambles is awesome. I think Keywon Lacy is awesome. I think you have a first-year coach that had a great win and came eyelash short of making it to the national championship game, which would be an awesome story for them. And they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder for sure because of how frustrated they are about the Kiffin thing. That game is going to be awesome. It's going to be the best game of the year in the SEC, or the most anticipated. I don't see that roster as a top five team in the country, though. That is... Tim, you're actually right. Let's talk about this a second. Ole Miss did beat Oklahoma on the road last year. Now, the cool thing about this year is that it's not last year, unless you're like that Arkansas fan that didn't understand how years work. It's not the same team. And by the way, just so you know, if you're an Ole Miss fan, Ole Miss got fucking gutted from players they had last year versus this year in comparison to last year's roster and this year's roster. Oklahoma didn't.
Wait,
Oklahoma returns is tied for the most returning starters of any team in the SEC. They didn't lose a single actual bona fide starter to the portal. They brought in another good portal class, and now they get year two of Mateer, who will be healthy. They get – this is not correct from my narrative.
I can fact check you. Wrong
on CBS,
again.
They had 14 teams or 14 players for Oklahoma. But either way, also they had Bama saying they had seven, which also seemed too high. So maybe CBS is wrong. They seem to be a lot in this day and age in the news cycle. You know what I mean? Heard that on the Oscars last night. No, I just think that Oklahoma.
Just Google who owns CBS now.
Who is it? Donald Trump.
Any other? So all right, you hate Ole Miss. I get it. It's part of yours. I guess that's part of Matt Moscona radio show or whatever.
I wonder how much we would like Ole Miss as a program if they didn't have cool blue uniforms. Ole Miss was picked to win 8 games last year and they won 13. That's cool. Who was their coach when they did that? Who was the coach for Ole Miss when they won those games?
Pete Golding.
Yeah, all 13 of them.
Yeah. I mean, he was really the because Lane Kiffin had his one foot out the door, you know? So it was Golding that was put that whole thing together. Any of these others, over-unders, stand out to you? You haven't mentioned Tennessee. No love for Tennessee?
Way over Tennessee. Tennessee is going to be, in my opinion, a dark horse for the playoff. I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But I firmly believe it. Tech's going to take a step back, replacing Haynes King in the quarterback situation. Kennesaw State is really good at traffic, but that I don't think that's going to matter. Texas
that is true. I've driven through there. The roads are phenomenal.
They are. I think that there's some losses on this schedule, but I don't see a ton of them coming in the first 6 games. Vandy is a win. Kentucky is a win, and I think that's 7. Like I think they go 5-1 in their first 6 games. And I think that they are able to get 2 wins in their final 6. So, yeah, I'm
2 out of the final 6?
The line is 6.5. I think they get 7 wins at least.
I think they can get 4 of the final 6. How about that?
So, Mike, what I was doing was not arguing against your team. I was saying they will at least win 7 games. That's where I was cutting it off.
Yeah, I'm about to cut you off. All right, anyone... Are there any other ones that you like?
No, I'll finish my time on today's episode by saying I appreciate you guys. Hope you have a great day. Y'all be safe. I know the traffic is really bad. Bring me back on here for a second. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, Cousin Shane, I'm so fucking sorry for saying fuck and other bad words. I hope you have the best fucking day and you make a fucking hole in one out on the golf course. I fucking love you, big dog.
All right, good place to cut it. We'll be back with Steven. No profanities for that one. He's a true professional. Until then, we'll catch y'all.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.